It's the WTIL Morning News with Tom Meredith, Jim Lee, and Will Stevenson.
Joined by a gentleman who is now an author. The name of the book is From God's Monster to the Devil's Angel, Life of a Chicago Gang Member. Luther Pack Butler, he lived a really, really hard life growing up in Chicago, ended up on the streets, ended up in a gang, and has turned things around. And now not only is an author, he's a mentor to youth, and just doing some really great things at this point in his life. And he has been good enough to join us this morning. Pack, welcome. Thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me on, Tom.
Well, let's first talk about your motivation to actually write the book.
Well, the motivation actually didn't come from me. I'm very, very passionate about you're not able to complain. You don't have the right to complain if you're not willing to be part of the solution or be proactive in helping with the solution. Well, make a long story short, I was working in Wisconsin. Saw some kids that were displaying some behaviors that weren't going to be conducive to their futures, and I just stopped and talked to them. And while I was talking to them, another IBEW electrician was like, "Man, you need to put that in a book. It could help some more kids." And I kind of didn't want to do it at first because I volunteer already. And then finally, I kind of acquiesced to the idea of doing it, and then it just took off from there.
And I guess, you know, from what I understand, even in doing this, it's actually been a little bit therapeutic for you because you went through some really, really hard times. I mean, harder than anybody should have to go through as a child. I guess it was a little bit therapeutic for you to even get this information out.
Definitely. It was more therapeutic than I ever thought. You know, we go through these years and we make it through all these turbulent situations and we think you're okay. And I can't tell you how surprised I was with the emotions that evolved just simply writing the book. It was twice that I remember having to walk away just because I was so overcome with emotion about what I had come through from the past. So definitely therapeutic.
Was it surprising to you, with all that you had gone through growing up and the difficult circumstances with abusive father and crime and a lot of the things that you had to deal with, to kind of get out into the rest of the world and realize that not everybody was being forced to live that way? Was that really kind of astonishing to you when you kind of were able to escape from some of that?
I was surprised at the fact that my life wasn't the norm.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
That's an excellent question. You know, Chicago is, it's so many people in Chicago, and where I grew up in that subculture, it was literally killer be killed. It was, you responded to aggression with double the aggression. And surprisingly enough, I didn't get my true wake-up call until I went to play football at ISU. And you see different cultures, different subcultures, different ideologies from different races and different genders. And that's when I truly started to become a man, because you see all of these ideas different, albeit passionate, but different. I grew a whole lot in college because of that. Because, like you said, some person associated at the job, you can't react as if we're in Chicago. And so I grew up a lot.
You talk about growing up in Chicago and what you went through, and we see what's going on there now, what happened over the weekend there. And, you know, I look at the Tribune every Monday morning and see, you know, this many people shot, this many people killed. And even though overall, I mean, people are kind of surprised that the homicide rate is actually down, it just seems ridiculous. What is it from your perspective, having grown up in that and seeing this going on, what do you see? Is there any one biggest issue?
Well, I'm going to say, in my opinion, I'm no true expert, but one thing you pointed out is due to the advent of social media, all of these stories are able to get out there quicker and faster. And one reality is the crime rate and the murder rate is not even half of what it was today as it was when I was growing up and I was in high school. I mean, not even half of it. But the media is able to immediately grab onto these stories and basically exacerbate them by giving every detail and kind of puts people in a little bit of fear. Now, granted, one murder is one too many, but the, when I talk to people, when I talk to kids, and when I do these public speakings, and I mean, everywhere, and we want to talk to parents, the number one, I have to say, the one thing that stands out to me and that can make a difference is parenting. We're at a time now where parents are getting younger, and they're not being proper parents. They'd rather be friends instead of being mentors and living by examples. And I'll go to one more point. And even in Chicago when I was growing up as a kid, that was the same thing with parents. I mean, we were out shooting at people at all times of night, and there were very few, if any, parents that said, you know what, street lights on, it's nothing positive at this time, come inside, you know, and it's parenting. I think that would be the main goal, going back to the basic roots of parenting.
You mentioned, and your website, packbutler.com, PACCbutler.com, on one of your blogs that comes up. And that's exactly kind of what you're talking about. I almost compare it to, although it's not funny or intended to be funny, but what, you know, you got, what's this, Jeff Foxworthy, he's like, if you are this, you might be a redneck. Well, you're talking about things, if you're doing this or you're doing this more or not doing that, you know, you're not being a good parent or not being a man.
Exactly, and I say all of this in mentoring, and I go out helping, and I volunteer at the Urban Center and at other centers, and that's part of being a parent, but the first part of being a parent is taking care of that nucleus at home. And I just don't parent. I'm not one of those parents that smokes a cigarette in front of my kids and says, this is terrible. You have to live by example, or else these kids won't buy into what you're selling. You know, and that's the first and foremost, being a parent, but being a parent that leads by example.
You know, you mentioned when you went to college and were exposed to different ways of living, different schools of thought, and how you grew through that. And I guess when we were talking with Wendell and John here earlier in the hour, you know, I was telling them that, you know, I'm one of those that just grew up down here on the farm in this part of Illinois. And I look over the years and have heard, you know, talk from some of the guys in the inner city and some of the violence that comes from, they use the term disrespect. And for us down here, a lot of times in the rural areas, we don't really understand that concept. But yet, obviously, you come from that. What is that something that plays into it too on the streets that has led to some of the gangs and some of the shootings that have gone on, do you think?
Well, definitely, but to a lesser extent. What I mean by that is disrespect can fall under a myriad of topics, whether it's a look, whether it's a glance, whether it's something you said. But ultimately, in my opinion, what it dwindles down to is fear. And what I mean by that is, like I say, when I was growing up, if you got into a fight, you killed the guy. Whether you win or lose, you killed the guy, because the fear of, if I don't do it first, it's going to happen to me. And you got these diminutive kids in Chicago that 18 years old, weigh less than 140 pounds, and they're carrying around these guns because they are fearful. Not just fearful of their life, or not just fearful of the repercussions of if they don't handle their sales accordingly, but fearful of their futures. These guys don't have futures. They don't have 401ks. They don't have retirements to look after. So they live in this ephemeral sense, and they're trying to get instant gratification with fast girls and a little bit of quick money, because in reality, the fear will set in that they won't live past 18. It used to be 21, you know. Then it's that fear. I got to get it now and get a little bit while I can, because the fear and the reality of fear is that they won't be there that long.
We're talking with Pac Butler, as his book is called From God's Monster to the Devil's Angel, Life of a Chicago Gang Member. If you go to his website, pacbutler.com, it's a PACC. You can actually purchase the book on there. It's a very quick read, a good read. You learn a lot about what goes on the streets of Chicago and the life that you had to grow up with. What is the key, Pac? Because for you, it was a mentor, a former police officer, but not only that, it also took you taking a long, hard look at yourself.
Yes, sir. Definitely. Not to make an excuse, but I definitely got the short end of the stick when it came to parenting and abuse. And then when I became a self-fulfilling prophecy, I let my anger and my hatred send me into a place that was not conducive to growth at all. And thank God that I was like one of the top recruits in football. I mean, I still made decisions that caused a lot of colleges to pull away from me. And it just so happened that, like you said, a police officer took me in, and not only did he parent me, but he led by the example that he was attempting to bequeath to me. And the one thing about parenting, I tell my kids this all the time. I have two in college and one in high school, and he's fighting the peer pressure now. If you set that path of righteousness and proper living, even if your kid starts to stray, that path is still there for them to get back to. And I was making those mistakes, and I remember Robert used to just tell me, like, this is what a man does, and this is how a man handles himself, and this is how a man treats a woman. And at that time, I wasn't buying into it, but I bought into him, and I believed him as a man and as a mentor, and ultimately as my true father, even though he wasn't. And then one day, when I hit rock bottom and he wasn't there to help me because he had passed, it was like a revelation that this is what he's talking about. And I had to address me as an individual. And I had to say, what do I want? I got away from Chicago. I got away from that scene. And now for me to be better and to be the type of individual that would be proud when he looks in the mirror, I had to address some issues. And those issues were the path that Robert initially set for me.
Well, Pac, we're just about out of time here. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning. Hopefully, we'll be able to get you here in Galesburg for one of our Peacekeepers events. I know they're kind of working on that and getting some volunteers. Again, the name of the book, From God's Monster to the Devil's Angel, Life of a Chicago Gang Member, you can find it on his website, pacbutler.com. Pac, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time and appreciate what you're doing for the youth that you help mentor.
Thank you again for having me, Tom. I really appreciate it. And I will get in touch with some way coordinated. Now, I'd love to help with the Peacekeepers.
All right. Pac, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
All right.
News, information, and great conversation every weekday morning. The WGIL Morning News on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.